It is 3:30 in the afternoon on Saturday, November the 23rd of 2013, and the first ever Hip Hop Sports Report podcast is live and in your freaking ears right now. Yes! Yes! It took a little bit of time, but I'm back behind the microphone. It's your boy JB Hicks getting at you right now, bringing to you that hardcore content on hip hop and sports. It's what we do. It's what we do best. It's what I do best. And it's the Hip Hop Sports Report podcast. You can hear it hopefully on iTunes and definitely on hiphopsportsreport.com. Website I've been working on for about a year now, and I think it's going pretty well to this point. We're going to have a lot to talk about today, and I'm going to cram it into a very small amount of time, hopefully, because, again, this is the very first podcast, which means there's editing and there's, you know, music that I got to put in, and there's all these different kinds of things that I'm trying to mesh together for the very first time, and I've never really done it before, so you guys are going to have to cut me some slack. If this podcast sucks, you know what I mean? Sorry. You know, that doesn't mean that I suck. That doesn't mean that the podcast will suck in the future. It just means that it's the first time. You remember your first day at work, right? You sucked, didn't you? Tell the truth. You did, okay? So just cut me a little bit of slack this time, and, it'll all be gravy in the end. You know, we'll have a good time. First thing I wanted to do today, again, is talk a little bit about the website and talk about what it is that I do. I decided to start this website last year, around this time, maybe back in August, actually, I think it was, come to think of it, and just after the Olympics, the Summer Olympics were winding down. I got this idea, you know, some people close to me had told me for a long time that I should really start to get my ideas out there and start talking about hip hop and sports in a little more of a professional context and do it on my own terms. And I thought that that was something that was really cool. And I decided to take on this opportunity. And in addition to that, I had a little bit of experience working in radio, thanks to my good buddy, Adam Clark. First ever shout out on Hip Hop Sports Report goes to you, Adam Clark. Thank you for getting me involved in radio. I loved it. We hosted the award-winning all-football show. And that was a wonderful experience for me personally. My old buddy Rick Savalier was my producer at the time. Shout out to Rick as well, and everybody over at Ball State University in the Letterman Building. Yeah. So I did a little bit of radio, and I was getting some opinions out there and doing that sort of thing. And I felt like this was just kind of the natural progression of things. I love to write, and I love to talk about sports and rap music, and that's just kind of who I am, and that's just what I do, and I feel like I do it well. And so with that came the idea of starting Hip Hop Sports Report, which was it's going to be a website where, you know, obviously I'm bringing a lot of my own personal opinions and things, but hopefully I'm also able to bring a little bit of a different perspective on certain issues and topics to the table. Maybe some stuff that maybe a lot of people haven't really been hip to before, or maybe they haven't thought of it in a certain way. And specifically with athletes and entertainers in this context, we're dealing with a lot of African Americans, and I am an African American male myself, and I can relate to a lot of the athletes and entertainers that are out there right now, because a lot of them are about my age, and they're making, I can relate to them on that level. I can't relate to them on the pay scale level yet, but, you know, in due time, you know what I mean? Basically, though, I wanted to provide an outlet that I felt was a little bit more fair to them. You know, we can talk sports and we can talk music and we can have our opinions and everything, but I feel like a lot of times, a lot of black athletes and rappers and entertainers, they get kind of a bad rap in the media, and I felt like this was an opportunity that we could start to control our own message a little bit. And so that's kind of why I came up with this website. And I've, in the year that I've been writing for it, and everything on the content level that you can see on the website right now, I've written myself with my own two hands. And to this point, we're going to expand here soon enough. I'm gonna be bringing in some guest writers and bloggers in due time. I can't wait for that, but you know, I want to grow at the right pace, and so I haven't been able to do that just yet. So, in essence, the website, again, is all written content to this point, but I really just feel like it's something that needed to be said, and I'm kind of babbling about the website a little bit too much right now, but I just wanted to make sure that you all knew what it was about and where I was coming from with it. And now I've decided to branch off into this new avenue with the podcast and get the audio jump off going at the same time, because I felt like that would really supplement the material there. And so hopefully I'm able to entertain you. Hopefully I'm able to make you think a little bit, and hopefully you enjoy what I'm doing. I've received nothing but positive feedback from everybody that's been involved with the website to this point. And when I say everybody, I mean just, you know, strangers, you know, people just on the internet. Just, you know, I send out stuff on my Twitter account all the time, twitter.com/HHS report. And you know, you can find all of our content on there. All the tweets are my own. All those opinions and crazy things are my own. But, you know, I've received a lot of positive feedback. I've received a lot of retweets. I've been tweeted at by tons of celebrities and stuff like that for random reasons, you know, here or there. I got retweeted by Metal World Peace. You know, he's a longtime favorite athlete of the Hip Hop Sports Report. Actually, he is now, because he retweeted us. You know, before, you know, I like Ron a little bit, but, you know, he's a little out there. But in all seriousness, though, we've gotten retweets from Ron Artest and Ghostface Killah and stuff like that. And, you know, it's really cool to see people kind of, you know, reach out and reach back to the little guy, because I'm a little guy right now, and look to help us out a little bit. So in addition to that, I've received nothing but, you know, support and appreciation from all of my friends and family with starting this new endeavor. It really touches my heart that I've had this many people come to back me up, you know, back up one of my dreams, basically. And so, I mean, friends, family, friends I went to high school with, college, graduate school, all you guys, I love you. Thank you so much for supporting me to this point. I don't know where this thing is going to go. This could be the first of many thousands of podcasts, and maybe I'll end up hosting my own national show on Sirius XM or something. I don't know. Maybe it'll just be a silly hobby that I just do from time to time, and just me and my circle of friends can just get together and laugh at me. I don't know, but either way, I'm good with it. And regardless, everybody that's retweeted, everybody that's read one word, one letter of the content that's written on Hip Hop Sports Report, I cannot thank you enough from the bottom of my heart. And we're going to keep pushing this thing forward and just see what happens. You never know. So the first thing we're going to do, I think that kind of covers it on the intro there. You know, I do have a little bit of a rundown that we're going to talk about. I'm already 7 minutes into this thing. It's kind of crazy how quick it goes. But we're going to get into a little hip-hop music. That's going to be what we do here. And we're going to be right back on the Hip Hop Sports Report podcast.
Reggie Noble's piss. I crushed the whole brain frame, cause you couldn't maintain the funk to have it rap style for lunch, y'all. Cause 92, I take a whole crew, give them a put to the book, not all of them go too loose. I'll show you what type of stuff I'm on. You can't puff or sniff it, because I was born with it. The Brokadelic Devil hit you with the rap level of 10. The 1, 2, 3, you pin. I get action, so everybody jump with your up. If you like the way the sound pump, pump it in your back trunk, and let loose with the juice when I do rock. I'm too hot, some say I got more juice than Tupac.
Straight out of Jersey.
You heard me, my brother, I'm laughing.
time for some back, yeah.
From the land of the lost, I'ma hit you with the funk force that make you run your rap style back to the crack style, brother. This strike the pose like Madonna. My mom's kicked me out because I did what I want. The original P-Funk chomped up a chunk of funk in your skull caps, cause my jaw snaps with the raw rap. So color me bad plus color me black for the funk that I pack. That freaking to the funk track.
The funk keep fly stuff.
Come on and let me kick
the funk keep fly stuff.
Just to show you where the hell I come from, I get done with the 1, 1, 2. Check my rap for my twist to the mister. A funky brain cell when it's puffed on the spliff and all that, the hi-hat. Go by them, listen, look, oops, brother, where your eyes at? They on the floor, pick them up while I pour. Look, funk, now your brain funk, listen to my name, Trump. Red man, ready to rock, I got a Glock, then pow! Your body is all over the block, trying to step to this. The exorcist, kick it, I get mad wicked when twin pop the biscuit and blow your head off. Just for asking, who's the one rap? Who pow? Time for some action. Not going for the okie doke. Believe that. His squad's definitely in the house.
In the house.
For the brothers that don't be knowing. What's up? Word is bomb, I gotta show him the flavor. Back to the funk track. Black sheep, my man, you say, who's the red man? Where's the red man? I kill.
Yeah. A little bit of Reggie Noble on a Saturday afternoon, you know. I just kind of, you know, was in one of those kind of moods, you know what I'm saying? Time for some action, time for some, you know what I'm saying? I don't know, I was feeling it, you know. So I'm going to try to work in a little bit of different kinds of hip-hop music. I'm going to come a little bit old school, a little new school, a little down south, a little east coast, a little west coast, a little whatever, you know. That's just, you know, we're going to keep it fast and loose here. We're going to keep it fast and loose. And so with that being said, again, that was Red Man, time for some action, and we're going to just jump into a little bit of the hip-hop headlines from the week. And again, with this being the very first podcast, I have no idea how this is going to go. I might, you know, do the same format every time. I might change up the format. Hopefully, in the near future, I'm going to have people calling in, and we're going to record those conversations and get them straight into your earbuds. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know exactly how it's going to roll just yet, but this is going to be the format for this first podcast, at least. And, you know, we're always open to ideas and suggestions, so if you have any, please tweet at me at HHS Report, and we'll see what'll happen. We'll see what this turns into. But again, just looking at some of the headlines from this week, Young Jeezy. Why not Young Jeezy? Let's let Young Jeezy be, you know, aside from that little shout out to Redman, let's let Young Jeezy be the first rapper we talk about on the Hip Hop Sports Support podcast. Young Jizzle from the bottom of the map. As you may know, is with CTE, you know, that's his label, and they recently signed to Roc Nation this week, and that was announced earlier in the week. Jay-Z bringing in Young Jeezy. They're kind of a weird combination. You wouldn't think that those two cats would have gravitated towards one another, you know. And I actually hated Young Jeezy when he first came out, which is the really funny part, because I just felt like, you know, here's a guy that can't wrap his way out of a paper bag, and he's just one of those another Atlanta cats. You know, no offense to the South, but a lot of them kind of are fit this mold, you know what I mean? And they just come out and they do their little thing, but you know, they get the hot beats, but they don't really have the bars to back it up. As time went on, I quickly, you know, got over that and became a huge Young Jeezy fan. I'm not even quite sure how it happened, but you gotta, you know, you can't ban a snowman, so they say. So and from the very beginning, Jeezy was getting support on his first record, you know, his first album, the Thug Motivation 101, back in 05. He was getting support from artists like Ghostface and artists like, you know, Jay-Z appearing in his videos and doing records with him. And it's just kind of like, you know, how was it that these accomplished artists, these established superstars in the game, are supporting Young Jeezy like this when he can't really rap? Well, you know, Young Jeezy is a different kind of rapper. He's not the most lyrical cat, but he brings something different to the table, and that's what I grew to appreciate. And I think he's going to bring something different to the table to Roc Nation, and so that's what he and CTE is doing now. They're going over to Roc Nation. I don't think the details as far as this merger, all the details are on the table just yet. It sounds like Jeezy is going to be an artist himself and bring over all of his CTE artists. You know, so that means, you know, if you're looking for that Slick Puller J. Cole collaboration, you know what I'm saying? That's coming soon. I don't know. Maybe not. But at any rate, I think it's a good look for Jeezy. You know, if you follow him on Twitter, I think it's at Snowgo. He kind of went in on Def Jam last week. He went in on, I think, L.A. Reid and Def Jam. A lot of live tweets he was popping off at the mouth just about Def Jam not really supporting him, not helping him get his album out. And it's true, really, think about it, because pretty much since The Recession, which was his third album back in 08, since then, you know, it's kind of been touch and go with Young Jeezy on the album tip. You know, he had the next album came out after that. It was TM103, I think. That was pushed back several times and didn't end up dropping until, I believe, December of 2011. Here we are almost 2 years later, and he's just now trying to get back on once again. And so, you know, but the Def Jam don't act like they don't want to put the album out. So I can understand his frustration, and he threatened to leak the album just for, you know, to support his fans and everything. He kind of put the ball in their court. So it sounds like they let him out of whatever deal he had with them, and now he's working with Roc Nation and Jay-Z, and that's gonna be a good look for him, because him and Jay, they make magic together. And as crazy as that sounds, but as real as it gets, off Blueprint 3 is one of my favorite songs. I'm waiting on the day that I can see Jay-Z and Jeezy in concert together perform that record. I've never seen Jeezy in concert, and I can just imagine how insane that must be. And to see Jeezy and Hov together, that'd be awesome. And so, Jay-Z making moves in Roc Nation, though. It's interesting to see what he's going to do. The support that it appears that some of his artists have received hasn't been great as of yet. He supports J. Cole quite a bit, and J. Cole is the most established rapper on the Roc Nation label. He also did work for Wale. I believe he's part of Wale's management team there. And so there is definitely some support there, but you're not really seeing a lot of J. Cole, Jay-Z records of late. And you really didn't see any Wale, Jay-Z records at all. So, and maybe it's, you know, on me, maybe I don't fully understand the scope of the deals so much, you know, but it seems as though Jay's been a little bit more hands-off with that of late, and a little more hands-on on the sports side of things in recent months. And so we'll see where that goes. Jeezy's expected to drop his next project, It's the World Volume 2, on November the 27th, so we'll keep an eye out for that for sure. And the Snowman is still doing his thing out here. And speaking of Jay-Z and sports, am I the only one to notice that, like, the Brooklyn Nets, you know, like, as soon as Jay, like, left the building, like, this whole franchise just fell apart? Like, I don't know, maybe it's just me. He just, all of a sudden, as soon as he sold his shares off of the team and said, I'm just going to do this Roc Nation sports thing, all of a sudden, you know, Jason Kidd comes into the fold, and the season's not off to not such a hot start, and whole nother thing, but that's beside the point. We'll touch on that on another time. Also, making waves, T.I. moving Grand Hustle over to Columbia in a new partnership that they just established this year. Who said only athletes are the ones that are moving and shaking on a free agent tip? It looks like Tip is going to be taking Grand Hustle over to Columbia Records, and he announced that he's going to have Pharrell executive produce his next project, which is going to be part two of the Trouble Man album, Trouble Man, He Who Wears the Crown. As you remember, Trouble Man, Heavy is the Head was the first part, and so obviously Heavy is the Head of the one who wears the crown is the expression. And so, you know, so part two is going to be He Who Wears the Crown, presumably talking about himself, and T.I. and Pharrell are going to work together, and it sounds like Pharrell's going to be executive producing that project. Should be interesting. I think T.I. is trying to capitalize on a little bit of momentum he got. It seemed like, you know, the first Trouble Man album was very good. I don't know how much traction it really had. I mean, I think it did well as far as sales go, but it didn't seem to have a ton of, forward momentum. And, you know, he was putting out music, or videos rather, and it didn't, I don't know how much it you know, caught the audience. I don't know how much the audience really latched onto this last album. I'm not saying that it was a bad album, but I just don't know how much it really resonated with the people. But what I do notice is that people really seem to like the Hello record with CeeLo Green, produced by Pharrell, and I think part of this is T.I. capitalizing on that momentum, in addition to the Blurred Lines momentum that the two of them collaborated on with Robin Thicke, and that turned out to be one of the biggest records of the year, although I'm not really crazy about that song, but that's just me. So, possibly a good look for Tip, possibly a good look for Pharrell. They've been in the game for a long time, and they both need to do stuff to you know. I think this is a, you know, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours kind of situation here. I think both T.I. and Pharrell are, you know, not whack by any means, but I think they've both seen better days than right now today, as far as being prevalent or primarily relevant in the culture. And so, but I think this will help them both a little bit achieve that end of getting back at it again. So we'll be looking forward to T.I.'s next project as well. Last thing I want to touch on real quick, Eminem, Marshall Mathers LP2, already going platinum 2 weeks in, and Eminem just lyrically just destroys everything he touches pretty much. I mean, it's pretty insane, and I don't really understand. It seems like there's a lot of backlash almost. Maybe backlash is too strong of a word, but there seems to be a segment of the hip-hop community that never fully accepted Eminem, and I don't understand why. I don't know if it's strictly because he's white. I don't really know what, you know, because he does the gimmicky, wacky bit a little too much for people's liking. I'm not exactly sure, but whatever the case, Eminem seems to still not, you know, not have everybody's ear, even though he's got a lot of people's ear. And I think it's something that I my brother and I actually got into a very good conversation about recently, about Eminem being both overrated and underrated at the same time, and race being a huge factor into both of those opinions. It just seems as though M is, or at least he can be, I'm not saying that he necessarily is, but it appears as though he can be overrated by a lot of white people and underrated by a lot of black people. And it's kind of a shame that that's the case, maybe here in 2013, that we're still talking about this with somebody who's so supremely talented. I know one guy, Bomani Jones from ESPN, you know, he blogs and writes about music all the time. He tweets about music all the time, and I think he does a fair amount of trolling in his spare time as well. But he was really getting at M fans recently on Twitter, saying that he doesn't even think Eminem is in his top 20 or 25 MCs of all time. Like, okay, knock it off, Bomani. Like, okay, I like Bomani Jones, but it's like, come on, man. Like, you can have that opinion, and that's fine. You know, you might think, you know, if you don't think he's the best musician, that's one thing. And I think that's kind of where he was getting at, was just that the music itself that M puts out is not always so great in his opinion. But His lyricism is undeniable, and I think even Bomani would agree with that. At least I hope he would, or else he'd need to get his freaking head examined. But, you know, when you just listen to this new album, the MMLP2, and we're going to have a Tale of the Tape coming on that pretty soon. Tale of the Tape has gotten a lot of positive feedback, which I really appreciate, because those album reviews actually do take a lot of time to do and to do well. And so we've done Tale of the Tapes on all types of hip-hop artists, and you know, we have weight classes to kind of help categorize different types of artists, because you can't judge a Jay-Z or Eminem record the same way that you would judge a Trinidad James record. That just doesn't even out, you know. So that's why we have that, and it seems like the people really appreciate those, and so we're gonna keep coming with those, and we're gonna definitely do one with Eminem as well. It's gonna be a little bit of a tricky one to do, but given the type of album this turned out to be, but and I've already heard a lot of mixed reviews from people with their opinions on it. But one thing I will say about the Marshall Mathers LP, without giving away the article, is that undoubtedly the lyricism again on this record is undeniable. And given where Eminem came from, I mean, he came up as a battle rapper, and you think about the hot battle rappers that are out there now. You got Loaded Lux, you got Mook, you got, you know, you got Hollow the Don, who's one of my personal favorites. But these guys, you know, Sirius Jones, these guys can't, they're not making records and selling records at the same time. Like, it's one thing to be a great battle MC, you know, even Cassidy kind of got to start that way, and, you know, he had like a little bit of shine when he first broke in with Swiss Beats and those guys. But how often do you see a battle rapper make it on the commercial side? And for Eminem to have succeeded in both arenas to the extent that he has, and to become one of the best ever at both, I think it says a lot about who he is as an artist. And so, you know, again, the pure lyrical dexterity on the Marshall Mathers LP2 is fantastic, in my opinion. And it's something that any true hip-hop head or true slave to the lyrics, you know, you should definitely check it out. And we'll discuss maybe on future podcasts or in the article whether or not Eminem can be the greatest of all time. Because, I mean, when you listen to a song like Rap God, and then you listen to, you know, a song like Jay-Z's record that he did with Drake on Drake's most recent album, with the cake, 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 cake. Look at my neck, I got a carrot cake. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I kind of liked it, but I mean, again, from a lyrical standpoint, I mean, like, how could you compare that to Rap God? And I'm not saying Eminem's better than Jay-Z. I'm just saying, when you look at what Jay-Z's doing right now in 2013, and when you know, and even stuff off Magna Carta, you know, I mean, compare Jay-Z's bars on Magna Carta to Eminem's bars on Marshall Mathers LP 2. And to me, it's not really much of a comparison. So we'll discuss that more at a later date. Let me know what you think about that. Again, holler at me. Twitter.com/... HHS report, and I'll retweet you. You know what I'm saying? If I get some feedback on that, I'll definitely be sure to give you a shout out and retweet you. So we're gonna jump into a little bit more music real quick. We got J. Cole on the way, more sports talk coming up here on the Hip Hop Sports Report podcast.
I'm about to blow up. Uh-huh. Say what? Bitch, I'm about to blow up. Hey, I came up, I warmed up, the next up. Bitch, I'm about to blow up. Now don't it sound legendary? Liven up the resurrected dead and buried. This for niggas who ain't satisfied with secondary. This for my sisters who ain't satisfied with secretary. I'm blowing up and bitch, I'm still me. But what's the cost to live your dreams? Do you feel me? Everything glittering ain't what you think it will be. Funny how money, chains, and whips make me feel free. I'm starring in this bitch and yeah, I write the show. Fuck the haters, I'm headed to that place you like to go. They say what you fighting for, the game is on life support. And Gary Coleman just passed, life is short. Bitch, I'm about to blow up. Early just to get a friend, wait for hoes to show up. Man, but now it's bottles at them tables. Bring them out, it's boy, I'm about to pour up. You know what? Bitch, I'm about to blow up.
Left side, hey. Right side, uh-huh. Left side, hey.
Bitch, I'm about to blow up. I'm about to blow up. Mama say I should reconsider law school. That means I wear a suit and bend the truth and feel awful. Hell nah, got a degree, but what that cost you? You make a good salary just to pay Sally Mae. That's real as ever. Ducking bill collectors like Jehovah's Witness when they showed up at your door at Christmas. Was broke as dishes, trying to let it go. Hit the club, she drop it low, lower than my credit score. Account overdraft, what I got is debit for. So much debt, it got me drinking, thinking, bitch, I better blow. I better blow. These hoes ain't checking for no nigga with no vehicle. You border like Mexico. Hey, baby girl, what it look like? Hey, where your head at? Hey, what you cook like? She say, where your bread at? Or what your whip like? You ain't got one or the other. Well, brother, good night. Bitch, I'm about to blow up. Look, I'm about to blow up. Yeah, got to the club early just to get a friend. Wait for hoes to show up. Man, but now it's bottles at them tables. Bring them out, it's boy, I'm about to pour up. You know what?
Left side, hey. Right side, uh-huh. Left side, hey.
Bitch, I'm about to blow.
God, it's hard to
stay spiritual. How they got these niggas on the TV selling miracles? You mean to tell me everything gon' be fine if I call your hotline and pay $29.99? Shit. Well damn, why ain't you say so? Take the check and ask, gotta multiply all my pesos and erase my number out the phones of these fake hoes. I saved the number just in case, but now it's case closed. To you niggas biting my flows and my subject matter, you never be me, partner, so it don't fucking matter. You try to be in your career or see funerals, and be you, that's when it sounds beautiful. Then maybe you can blow up, and maybe you can blow up.
I love that song. I thought that song was kind of symbolic of what we're trying to do here. I think we're going to blow up. So that's J. Cole again, and with the blow up record there. Hip Hop Sports Support Podcast back at it again. We're about to wrap this up here, but we wanted to get into a little bit of sports talk. College football is going on right now. Watching Ohio State as we speak, literally as I speak, just went up 27-0 on Indiana. That's not too much of a surprise. And if I can find a remote, let me see if I flip over to A&M LSU game. It looks like LSU was up 14-0 on John Football. So, you know, it should be an interesting day in the college football world right now. On the field, you know, obviously, this big game tonight, Oklahoma State and Baylor. I don't know who's going to win that game. If I were a betting man, I would probably say Baylor. But they have some kind of crazy statistic out there, like that Baylor, I think, has lost something like, you know, they haven't won at Oklahoma State since like 1939 or something insane like that. So we'll see if they're able to snap that streak. I would be willing to bet that they do it because their offense just appears to be unstoppable. But, you know, as the opponents have gotten tougher for Baylor, the outcomes have gotten a little bit closer. So although they were able to have their way with Oklahoma, We'll see what Baylor is able to do today. And the other thing with Baylor, though, is that they appear to be creeping up on the Ohio State Buckeyes, which, again, those are my Ohio State Buckeyes, because I will be the first to admit that I am from Cleveland, Ohio, and I love my Cleveland teams, and I love Ohio State. And it's unfortunate, and I'm a little bit biased, too, but, you know, it's unfortunate that it looks like Baylor could very well leapfrog the Buckeyes because there's not a lot of respect out there for the Big Ten right now. And I know the Big Ten is not, you know, it's not really hot like it used to be maybe 10 or 15 years ago. It's just falling completely off top to bottom as a conference. But it's just weird to me that Ohio State gets disrespected in the polls a lot of times. And obviously last year was a little bit different because they had the sanctions on the team and that they had no chance of really playing in the national championship game because of that. But at the same time, this is a team that's won, I believe, 18 or 19 games in a row. They have the nation's longest active winning streak. And I think it's funny to me that people judge even Ohio State as not being an appropriate championship contender because of the fact that they lost those two national championship games to SEC teams, you know, about 4 or 5 years ago. Even though those are completely different players, completely different coaches in there now. And in fact, the coach that beat him, Urban Meyer, is now on Ohio State's sideline. And even with that, they still don't really get as much respect as even, you know, some of the other teams that are out there. And here comes Baylor now. Although Baylor hasn't really played anybody that was that great this year. I mean, they have a couple nice wins, but and Ohio State's schedule has been far from murderer's row, you know, so I'll be the first to admit they beat a good Wisconsin team, they beat a decent Northwestern team, and they're going to have their hands full, you know, with Michigan State in the presumed Big Ten championship game, you know, once they knock out Michigan, which shouldn't be too much trouble, I wouldn't think, knock on wood. But you know, again, Ohio State, it's just funny to me how people have selective memory. You know what I mean? I mean, people love to think about how Ohio State lost those championship games and they don't get the respect now because of it. I think that's been haunting them each of the last few years. But then, you know, they also have the nation's longest active winning streak. So you can't have it both ways. You can't have, you know, a team that gets respect for based on who they are and what they've accomplished in the recent past, but then ignore the fact that they've won 20 games in a row. That doesn't make any sense, right? I mean, if you look at Alabama, you know, Alabama's schedule hasn't been all that impressive either, you know, and everybody gives them credit because they're in the SEC and all the SEC. Oh, nobody's better than the SEC, right? Well, not exactly, because the SEC is overrated. I'll just threw that out there. Yeah, it is overrated. It's overrated from a top-to-bottom context. I think there's a lot of good teams there, and not every conference can say that. And they may be the best conference. I'm not even saying they're not the best conference. But to think that the SEC is so far out in front of every other conference, I think is false, especially when you consider the whole conference. And when you look at Alabama's schedule, you know, they beat A&M on the road. That was their best win of the season. But A&M's defense is horrific. So, you know, I mean, it was a good win, but A&M can't stop a nosebleed. So why is it that Alabama gets so much credit for that? Their next best wins were at home against LSU and at home against Ole Miss. Here we are, 2 weeks left in the season, and they're playing Chattanooga today. Why are they playing Chattanooga on November 23rd? I don't understand that. But, you know, at any rate, Bama's a great team. I'm not trying to knock them per se, but it's just the fact that they get a lot of respect because of who they are, and you know, they were last year's champions, and I think they won it the year before that. So people are looking at the recent past and using that as an indicator for how good of a team they are this year. Whereas you have a team like Ohio State, who again hasn't lost a game in 2 years, and they're still struggling to hang on to number three. They blow out a team by 40 points, and they get dropped in the polls. You know, it just doesn't make any sense to me. And so we'll see what happens with Baylor tonight. You know, I'm actually hoping that they lose, frankly. But if they win, you know, good for them, and they'll probably leapfrog the Buckeyes. Hopefully for Ohio State's sake, if they can win out and then crush Michigan State in the Big Ten championship game, maybe then the Buckeyes can make up a little bit of ground, but we'll see what happens there. And I don't want to leave Florida State out of the equation either, because frankly, Florida State's win at Clemson in primetime was by far the best of the season as far as I'm concerned. There was not a better performance by a team this season. So, and speaking of Florida State, they got the whole Jameis Winston scandal going on. You know, I don't know all the details of the story just yet. I just know that this woman came out really late in the game, and all of a sudden is just accusing Jameis Winston of sexual assault nearly a year after it happened. It's really an unfortunate set of circumstances there in Tallahassee. Obviously, a situation like sexual assault is just something that you wouldn't wish on anybody. And so if this girl was in fact assaulted as the way she claims, and it was not consensual, you know, obviously that's a horrific thing to have happened. At the same time, you can't help but you kind of give it the people's eyebrow, you know, and when you hear that this story came out after the fact, and now that this guy's probably going to win the Heisman Trophy, and then all of a sudden this story comes out, and it's just kind of weird how it played out that way. I really hope that the allegation that the police officers told her, you know, not to come forward or whatever, because it could ruin her personal life or whatever, I really hope that that's not true. But again, hoping for the best for Jameis Winston and the young woman who is accusing him, because that's a really tough situation for both of them, and hopefully that situation gets resolved. And that's pretty much all I can say about it at this time. You know, those kind of stories, those legal stories and stuff like that, I kind of lose interest in them pretty quickly. You know, all the, you know, all the steroid stories and, you know, all those kind of things where there's like congressional hearings and all this nonsense and everybody on outside the lines every day, and that stuff gets so old to me so fast. You know, it's hard for me to even follow all the details of it. But again, I do think Jameis Winston's in the driver's seat for the Heisman Trophy, barring this incident maybe knocking him back a little bit. But we'll see how that goes. Last thing I want to touch on before we clocked out today on the first ever Hip Hop Sports Report podcast. And once again, thank you for listening. Wow, we're pretty deep into it, so I'll move pretty quickly. But we just posted an article on the Peyton Manning-Tom Brady matchup. Obviously, they're going to go at it for the 14th time tomorrow night in Foxborough, and it should be a fantastic game, hopefully. I really believe that Tom Brady is better than Peyton Manning, and everybody that knows me personally knows that I feel very strongly about that. But I wanted to take a different approach to this article, and I wrote about, you know, how both of these guys, you know, people, when they start debating who's better between the two of them, I feel like people lose sight of how great they each are individually. And And it's we've never seen this length of sustained excellence at the quarterback position, I don't think, where these guys, they just keep putting up the numbers year after year, and they keep winning year after year after year. It's just insane. And again, I compare them to, you know, Matt Ryan, for instance, who this year, his whole team's falling apart around him. And so, too, is the Atlanta Falcons season. It's just cratered. And, you know, they've won, I think, 2 out of 10 ball games. I mean, these guys, what they're doing, the way that they're able to keep their teams afloat, not even afloat, that's not even doing it justice. The way they're able to keep their teams on top every single season, despite chaos, you know, happening around them. You know, you got players retiring, you got rookies coming in, you got free agents, you got coaching changes, you got injuries. You know, Brady and Manning both missed an entire season. You have Peyton changing teams. You have Brady having his tight end get arrested for attempted murder and all kinds of crazy stuff. It's just remarkable that they're both able to succeed to the extent that they have year after year after year, despite all these changes. So I just wanted to recognize each of them for that. And so that's kind of what the purpose of that article was. Again, I am pro Brady, and I'll just give a quick... I'm not going to get into why I think that, and not on this podcast, maybe at a later date, but I do want to give you a quick backstory as to how I became a hardcore Tom Brady fan, and I will admit that readily. Back, you know, again, I'm from Ohio. I grew up an Ohio State fan. Tom Brady went to Michigan. You know what I'm saying? So I remember when he was there. You know, I never thought he was so great at Michigan. And then he goes into the NFL. I forgot about him. And he was a backup to Drew Bledsoe. And then he comes in and he starts winning. And I was a non-believer for a couple of years with Tom Brady and the Patriots. I mean, I just didn't think that what they were doing was legitimate. Next thing you know, they win 2 Super Bowls. 3 Super Bowls. This guy's never lost a playoff game. And it's like, you know what? I don't know what it is that this guy has, but I'm not doubting this dude anymore. And that's what I told myself. And I've kind of stuck to that ever since. And even back then in the early 2000s, when they were squaring off against the Colts in the playoffs and stuff like that, I thought Peyton was better. Yes. I thought Peyton Manning was better than Tom Brady at one point in time. But over time, Brady, his performance in those games and just in big spots, period, kind of swayed my opinion a little bit. And then they finally put some real weapons around him after they lost the AFC title game to the Colts. And next thing you know, he's has the greatest quarterback season of all time, arguably. So, you know, to me, that's kind of how this all started. Is once upon a time I was a non-believer, and then I was converted by his play on the football field and the fact that he keeps on winning. And then the last part of it is his story. Brady came from the bottom. You know, who doesn't like an underdog story? I'm from Cleveland, Ohio, man. We're all about the underdogs in Cleveland, Ohio. We're the underdog city. Everybody doubts us. Nobody believes in us. We're the laughingstock of the nation a lot of times, especially from a sports standpoint. But, you know, just in general, we're always the butt of the joke on late night television and stuff like that. Nobody gives us a chance. You know, so we support the underdogs. That's what we do, because we're an underdog kind of city. Brady had to fight for the starting spot on his high school team. He gets to Michigan and he's 6th on the depth chart, and he fights his way off. He fights off Drew Henson. He beats out a senior, Brian Greasy. He gets the starting job there, and he wins him a bowl game. He throws like 4 touchdowns against Alabama in the Orange Bowl. And then he gets to the NFL. He gets to the Patriots. He's 4th on the depth chart at the Patriots. He was the 199th pick in the draft, and yet he still persevered and climbed his way to the starting job. And once he gets there, he has the desire to stay there, and he excels once he's given that opportunity, and he never relinquishes it. And that's, I think that's that story of just him coming from the bottom and working his way up to the top. And unlike Peyton Manning, who was kind of born with a silver spoon in his mouth, you know what I mean? At least from a football standpoint, just being a son of a quarterback and growing up in a football family, you know, Brady didn't have that kind of backstory. Brady, I'm not saying Peyton didn't earn what he's earned to this point, but Tom Brady had to, there were no breaks given to Tom Brady. He had to scratch and claw his way to where he is now, and I really admire that. And so that's kind of how that all came about. And hopefully, and I plan to take some of you know, what he's applied in his life and apply it to this podcast and to this website, and hopefully we'll be on top one day too. So, you know, that's my little spiel about Brady and how I became such a big fan of his. But we'll see what happens tomorrow night. I actually kind of think the Broncos might get him tomorrow, but it's a tough call, man. Is it wrong that I just said all that great stuff about Brady and then pick against him? I guess I can't pick against him then if I just told you guys for 5 minutes about why I think he's great. So I don't know. I guess I'll pick the Patriots tomorrow night, but nothing would shock me in that game as far as who would win. I think it's pretty much a toss-up. The Pats are home dogs, and for any gamblers out there, you know that the home dog is a dicey proposition. You don't want to really mess with the home dogs a lot of times. They do a lot better than most people realize, and so you know, the Patriots could easily win, but we'll pick New England. There it is. We'll pick New England to win. I don't feel confident about it. Don't laugh at me if they lose, because again, I think that Denver could easily win tomorrow night, but we'll see what happens. It should be fun. Much like this podcast is fun. Thank you all for listening. This is the first installment. Again, if I was choppy, if there was a lot of it is a lot of weird breaks in between. I'm saying a lot of weird stuff. Excuse me. This is the first one. We're gonna get better. This is where we start. We start from the bottom and then we climb to the top. Just like Drake said, we started from the bottom, now we're here. Matter of fact, I think we're gonna send it off with that song right now, because that's where we're aspiring to be. We're all aspiring to be on top in our everyday lives, and I'm no different. So it's your man Jay Hicks getting out of here on this podcast again. First of many, hopefully. Keep on reading the website, hiphopsportsreport.com. Keep listening to the podcast, because I'm gonna keep bringing those at you. I don't know how they're gonna come yet. Hopefully I can get them on iTunes and I can get them on the website again. And thank you for listening. I really appreciate it. And get well soon to Derrick Rose. Hopefully his knee injury is not too serious. And we'll definitely talk hoop on the next edition of the Hip Hop Sports Report podcast. So long. Peace out. Thanks for listening. Later. Living at my mama's house, we'd argue every month, nigga. I was trying to get it on my own. Working all night, traffic on the way home. And my uncle calling me like, where you at? I gave you the keys, so you bring it right back, nigga. I just think it's funny how it goes. Now I'm on the road, half a million for a show. And we started from the bottom, now we're here. Started from the bottom, now my whole team fucking here. Started from the bottom, now we're here. Started from the bottom, now the whole team here, nigga. Started from the bottom, now we're here. Started from the bottom, now the whole team fucking here. Started from the bottom, now we're here. Started from the bottom, now the whole team here, nigga. Always tell stories about the man. Say I never struggled, wasn't hungry, yeah, I doubt it, nigga. I could turn your boy into the man. There ain't really much out here that's popping off without us, nigga. We just want the credit where it's due. I'ma worry about me, give a fuck about you, nigga. Just as a reminder to myself, I wear every single chain, even when I'm in the house. Cause we started from the bottom, now we here. Started from the bottom, now my whole team fucking here. Started from the bottom, now we here. Started from the bottom, now the whole team here, nigga. No new niggas, nigga, we don't feel that. Fuck a fake friend, where your real friends at? We don't like to do too much explaining. Story stay the same, I never changed it. No new niggas, nigga, we don't feel that. Fuck a fake friend, where your real friends at? We don't like to do too much explaining. Story stay the same through the money and the fame. Cause we started from the bottom, now we here. Started from the bottom, now my whole team fucking here. Started from the bottom, now we here. Started from the bottom, now the whole team here, nigga. Started from the bottom, now we here. Started from the bottom, now my whole team here, nigga. Started from the bottom, now we here. Started from the bottom, now the whole team here, nigga.